What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. And listen, man, people got burgundy and gold fever around here. Commanders coming off a win where they're able to bench the starting quarterback the entire fourth quarter because they kicked Cleveland's ass.
You have to say the right words. They didn't bench him. They relieved him. They let him. Yeah, they let him have fun. Relax.
They were up. They were up.
Yeah, but that's not a benching.
They were 34-6.
That mean you worked so hard that
whatever,
you were able to
whatever
rest.
Term you prefer. Rest him, pull him.
Yeah.
I think it was really smart because Mariota hasn't played at all. So at least he gets a little bit of game speed just in case he has to come in.
Yep.
I decided to not look at the fourth quarter.
Well, the offensive numbers changed a bit.
I decided to not look at it, really. I'm serious. I was just like, okay, this is over.
Well.
And that's the best feeling in the world when it's in the fourth. You're like, this is over.
It was 34-6. Yeah. I mean, that is just an absolute thorough ass kicking. And, you know, then Deshaun's able to get a drive there at the end. The Browns are completely broken, but I don't care about that. What I found the most exciting, the most encouraging, whatever you want to say about yesterday's performance, is that certainly early on, and for snippets, most of that game, this was not the high-powered, extremely efficient offense.
What happened?
Yeah, my
I don't hear you.
My return's cutting out. Do you not hear me?
I got you now. There we go.
We have seen Jaden over the last few games complete 86, 91% of his passes. Uh-huh. I mean, these historic completion percentages.
Yeah.
That wasn't the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. I got to talk to Luke McCaffrey after the game, and he explained the difference, like what Jaden can do when teams play zone and he can just sit back and pick them apart versus when they play man is you're going to have more incompletions, but then you're going to have the big plays that follow.
Yeah, totally, definitely.
And I think you saw that. I think by a mile, and people have to take this the wrong way, by a mile to me, the most encouraging thing from yesterday, it's a list, right? But the most encouraging thing from yesterday is they were the better team and they went out and kicked the other team's ass. And it was a complete effort, offense, defense, special teams. It was a dominant performance against a bad team that's broken, whatever you want to call Cleveland.
When you look at it, this team is growing week by week, and you hear Joe Witt talking a lot. You hear Cliff talking. You hear Dan talking, and they say what they expect and what they think, and you can see those things coming. Although they're 4-1, they still haven't played a perfect game. Not even a perfect game, an overall game where all three phases just go out and do whatever they.
What
can
would
do.
You say is their best performance so far? Probably Cincy. Maybe Arizona?
I probably would go with yesterday over all of them. See, you look
Your
at...
Your defense was at
you
its
look,
best
You look
yesterday.
At Cincy, okay, and yes, you beat Joe, but...
They couldn't get a stop.
As you look at it, Cincinnati not super great defensively. But yesterday, no, he didn't have the high percentage completion percentage, but no one expected him to be 80, 90 every week. I don't expect it. It happens, and you're thrilled by it. But there were big plays that came, and the way they hit stuff when they needed to hit it. Defense was completely dominant.
Dominant.
You know what I mean?
Louvu was everywhere.
Frankie Louvu. And so we were talking about the never ordinary player, and I picked Frankie. That dude lost his mind yesterday, bro. And listen, I like energetic people.
Sure.
I don't like the people that you know, listen. You go out there, you just mobile around, you do nothing, you make no plays, whatever. I care less about you. But if you're a player where you can come out with energy and you play like that, I love that. Because what he does is ignite the rest of the guys around him.
I mean, he finishes the game with 7 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 4 the fumble recovery. Wagner was a badass too yesterday.
Yeah, Wagner was.
It's really interesting watching the two of them because Frankie is super low-key, off the field, in the locker room, just like, very chill.
So
very
he's like a
chill.
Brian Dawkins.
On the field, and then if you saw the post-game locker room video that the team posted, he is clearly a super intense motivator, right? And then Wagner, is kind of low-key at all times, but just an absolute badass on the field.
Wagner says nothing. Wagner is Art Monk. Seriously.
He got asked one of the funniest comments. So that the post-game locker room was fun, but not over the top. And a couple people made mention of the Ravens game coming, right? Like that wasn't lost on the locker room, what's coming. But it's interesting when you talk to a veteran, like Eckler talked about it and was like, yeah, you know, we'll see. We got a week of practice. We got to get through, blah, blah, blah. And Wagner's like, can y'all chill? Let me enjoy this one for a minute. We just got off the field to get some Browns.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of think like him sometimes too.
I wasn't the one asking about it.
ultimate thing, like, but I think this team, and you can sneakily see, they can be a very good team, and I think they know that. And I think in practice when we have to leave and stuff, we can't see it, they know where they're going and where they're getting to. So I think that's why they have it's a super quiet confidence if you really listen to these dudes. You know?
But, totally. I think it starts with Jaden.
But Frankie reminds me a lot of Brian Dawkins, where off the field you would think this dude here is too calm to be that guy that I see on the field. I told you a story about Brian Dawkins the first time we would play the preseason game, and he comes out on all fours and runs over to swoop the little their mascot. He lifts his leg like he's taking relieving himself on the dog's leg. I mean, on Swoop's leg. And I'm like, who the hell is that? And Al Harris say, that's Dawk. That's how he is on the football field. That's what Frankie becomes. And I like it.
If in case anybody lives under a rock, or I know that we have a lot of young listeners and they may not know who Brian Dawkins is, he's a Hall of Fame safety for the Eagles for a number of years. That is was considered an absolute weapon on the field. So the two things for me that stand out above all else is I love that Washington realized, yo, we're better. We're going to kick this team's ass, and they did. They didn't. There was no, like, late in the game, the Browns kind of sneak back in this thing. If you care that the final score, that they were able to get that touchdown late, like, the defensive players in the locker room were mad about that. Good. They should be. But they also have to live in a world with unrealistic expectations where you're shutting everyone down all the time. John Allen said, yeah, they won 34-13. It was 34-6 deep into the fourth quarter. And Allen was like, yeah, we're real pissed we didn't hold them under 100 yards rushing. That's how athletes have to be wired to constantly come up with a new challenge to challenge themselves. That was an absolutely dominant defensive performance.
Yes, it was.
Deshaun Watson did not want to be out there. He got blasted time and time again, didn't run very much because I don't think he wanted to get hit. I don't know what Cleveland has going. That's for them to figure out. Mm-hmm. Dominant defensive performance, and I thought that was huge for this team to show. But, Brian, for me, man, the past two games offensively, they dropped 42 in Cincy. They dropped 38 42 in Arizona. And that offense, I mean, legitimately, the Hall of Fame sent for one of the footballs because Jaden Daniels was breaking records for rookie performances.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, that offense was performing at such a high level of efficiency, explosiveness, all of it. Yesterday, especially early on first quarter, they didn't have that. They didn't have that gear. I mean, their first two possessions in a world where we've gotten used to them scoring all the time, their first two possessions was a three and out. I don't know, the last time we saw a straight three and out. It's one thing to have to punt, but a three and out was like, huh, that's weird. Their first drive went -9 yards. And you're like, damn, Jaden took the sack. This Browns D line is what we're hearing about. The Browns defense has really good lateral speed. So a lot of that stuff they were trying to the edges just wasn't there. They went punt INT on their first two possessions. And the INT comes after a beautiful.
Yeah.
Jaden escapes out of a sack. Goes downfield to Terry. Terry gets tripped up at like the 2. Jaden has an easy touchdown on second down that he misses to Ertz. I don't know if Ertz kind of sat down on the route. Jaden thought he was going to keep running. I kind of think he just missed it because I think he threw it kind of back of the end zone, whereas Ertz was running parallel closer to the goal line, at the front goal line, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And then on third down, he's pressing a little, throws the pick to JOK. And it's like, damn, what is going on here? All of a sudden, offensively, they don't have it. They proceeded to not, after the game, because people will disagree with me on my performance when I think I'm just being quite honest. My assessment here, after the game, Dan Quinn called it grimy. Terry McLaurin says we left a lot out there.
Mm-hmm.
Terry McLaurin had a fumble in this game. How often does that happen? Jaden Daniels.
That dude punched the hell out of that ball. I thought he had caught Terry a little bit of Terry, like he grabbed his side. He threw a punch.
Terry went for a buck 15, I think. It was clearly pissed postgame.
Mm-hmm.
So head coach calls it grimy. Terry says we left a lot out there. Jaden Daniels opens his comments basically by saying, I still got to be better. So whatever you think of that offensive performance yesterday, mm-hmm. it wasn't their best.
But see, that's the thing about it, though.
And they still scored 34 and beat the hell out of Cleveland.
The thing about it is that you don't always play your best in pro football. You have to be able to still win when you're not playing
your best. I think that's the most encouraging thing we saw.
But for me is, what I like is that they have shown that they don't fold when something bad goes wrong. When something happens negatively, they don't fold. They still believe. And it's a lot with Jaden, but a lot of these guys have been through this stuff. You know, B-Rob didn't get as many carries. He got two touchdowns. Eckler comes back and makes a mark. I told people, Eckler is an impact every time he's out on the field.
Yeah.
But the ultimate thing is—
six carries for 67 yards.
Yeah, they have shown that they have the capabilities of overcoming stuff. And that's what I think, for me, is the best because— It hadn't been like that for a long time. When something went wrong, it went terrible. Things go wrong now, they shake it off, and they reassess, and they come back, and they make plays. I absolutely love that.
I'm with you, B. I think good teams, great teams perhaps, they win in different ways. And I think you've got to show that you can win in different ways. Now, this result, the final result here, is going to look like previous results, right? Like they're piling up points. It's going great. If you're just looking at box scores, if you're just looking at box scores from the last two games, this doesn't look that different than Arizona. The final score in Arizona was 42-14. Final score with Cleveland's 34-13. They were very different games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you can win two different ways. It is really, really important in a league where no game goes the same. Every opponent is going to game plan you differently. And I thought, dude, think about this. I don't think they played their best offensive game. There are people that want to get upset with that assessment, but it's what the coach, the quarterback, and the star receiver all said too. Two plays, B. So it's 34-13 final. Mm-hmm. It was 34-6. The last touchdown by the Browns was total and utter junk. Even after Deshaun Watson tried to just quit playing on a fourth down play where the head coach sent a play in and he just jogged off the field. Good luck figuring that out, Cleveland. Good luck with that mess. But 34-13 final. He throws a pick at the 1 yard line. Say you don't score there and they kick a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's 37. And then Terry has a touchdown. He dropped it. Jaden dropped on the left-hand side on the far end zone. That's a beautiful throw.
Those in the trash can plays, throws they threw all year, all season, they work. Because De'Ami Brown, he put that one right in the right spot, too.
The De'Ami throw was just beautiful. The 66-yarder, I mean, I also think we saw real growth from Jaden on that. Think back to Tampa, which was only 5 weeks ago, folks. Mm-hmm. Think about the growth of this young man. Tampa, everybody's worried he runs too much.
Yeah.
He's taking off too quick. He's not keeping his eyes downfield. That throw to Terry, go back and watch it. He's got 15 yards easily green grass ahead of him as he escaped out of a sack that maybe five quarterbacks in the NFL can do. Escapes the pocket, rolls right, doesn't take off running for what would have been an easy first down, keeps his eyes downfield, sees Terry deep past everybody, and just lets it go on the run. I mean, that is such an impressive play.
See, the thing about it is when we were going through all of the pre-draft stuff, everybody was like, the other guy had a higher upside and all this type of stuff. And I'm like, you think the other guy, like, you think Jaden wasn't going to improve? And we're watching every week he does something different. You know, and the ball to Terry was right, like, in the middle of the field when he caught the ball.
Right.
So, for those that say he doesn't throw it in the field, that was in the middle of the field. you don't have to put your best effort out there if you are constantly doing the right things. They can work in your benefit. And defense came around, and we hope they come around and continue doing it because they got a task this week coming up.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a different beast, right? And I think everybody's aware of that. And we got all week to look ahead to the Ravens. And I know not everybody's going to allow to enjoy this one because of, you know, whether it's a rivalry or not, I don't know. But it is certainly a regional rivalry.
It's two towns that have a little disdain.
A resentment, yeah, certainly. Resentment.
But I would say the most classiest thing ever was the game ball to London Fletcher.
Hell yeah. It was great to hear London on our Sports Final show last night. We came on the air at 1:45 in the morning. We do a radio wave segment where they play some of the cool audio and match it up with the video. Kerwin does a great job with that. And it was great to hear London back on the call. Obviously, if you know us, we all love Fletch. And we are absolutely just thinking of that family as they go through a lot. As for Commanders fans, though, four straight. And, B, you know what's so different is when they've had these playoff runs of the last 20 years, right? The Gibbs team in 05, if I got my dates right, they were just good. And they got hot late, but they didn't have to get hot late. Mm-hmm. They were good most of that year. The Sean Taylor playoff run was obviously an emotionally driven late in the season win streak. Unfortunate circumstances led to that, right? The Robert year, they got hot late. They ended up winning 7 in a row to get in.
Mm-hmm.
The Kirk year, they kind of were back and forth. Remember that you liked that game, the Code Red? Mm-hmm. They got hot late and got in. The Heinicke 2020 COVID year was incredibly bizarre. They got in at 7-9, you know, almost won a playoff game, whatever you want to say there. None of that has felt like this.
Mm-hmm.
They're good out of the gate. Their offense is high-powered out of the gate.
What I always say when everybody used to tell me for the last 4 years, oh, yeah, Ron teams get good late. And he said it as well. And I say, if you start off fast, you don't have to get good late. You could just stay consistent the whole damn year. They have already matched last year's winning.
It's crazy.
In 5 weeks. And I know people, I saw somebody post the other day. They were 6-2 at one point. With Alex. They were 6-2 with
the
foul coach.
Yeah.
They were 6-2. And they finished
Zorn, up. I think they were 6-2.
They were 8-8.
Yeah.
So still, you gotta finish this thing. And I believe I totally agree with you. Everything is different and seems different. The energy is totally different, and I believe this team is—they have a different breed of cats on this squad.
I think the staff, the coaching staff A to Z, I think just the support from ownership, like it's just everything is so different. I mean, even the name of the stadium is different. Everything's different. They're 4-1 with a chance to send an absolute message on Sunday. We're just getting warmed up. Phone lines open at 11. Jason Campbell. JC17 joins us at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.